Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. It is days of celebration. It is too white pilling what's happening currently on the public space. It's amazing to see the victory against Jewish control of the narrative. We'll see that it's at this point, it is something very normal to be asking questions around the Israel propaganda, around the apparent contradiction between the behavior of Jews with respect to themselves and identity and their behavior with respect to white identity. The Jews have played a losing hand and they got caught. It is so beautiful. Amazing memes rising on the public space. Professor Skeleton says, "My wife, hey, don't get political at Thanksgiving this year, please." Me, after one glass of water.
They're going to take your children's soul. Are you going to keep bowing down to these people? Everything they do is poison. Everything they do is designed to destroy you. And you got to decide, I'm not owned by the devil. I'm not owned by the New World Order. It's a pack of criminals and everybody knows it. And that's why the enemy hates me so much. That's why they hate you so much, because they know we're real. They know we love God. They know we tell the truth. Come.
Oh my God, amazing. This is what certain Thanksgiving dinners and Christmas dinner may look like at this point, with so many normies getting awakened. It's been a few shows that I forgot to read Tuna's super chat, and so sorry, Tuna. I was forgetting every show, and for some reason his super chats didn't pass through the entropy system. But his first super chat was, "People of Gaza provoked Israel like JF provoked his ex by staying in the apartment he owned while she was burglarizing it." That sounds like a comical comparison, but it is absolutely the same principles at play. Both exes and Jews appear to have a cognitive failure at understanding that I cannot abuse you by simply existing. Like, if I abuse you by simply existing, you are the abuser. That is, you are taking issue with my existence. And it is absolutely what has been happening many times with women in my life, where they consider that your physical presence there is an act of abuse. And it's like, nope, that is my legitimate house. You can leave if you want. I am not yelling at you. I am not committing any assault against you. But no, the way you said this intimidated me a lot. Number two, he was saying, "When Nick says he is a serious political movement, do you believe him?" That is a good question. I tend to think of Nick not as a political movement. I think that it's a little bit deceptive when the gripers bring it to that extent, to present Nick Fuentes as a political figure. I think that Nick Fuentes is an amazing, outstanding media guy. I think that his media has political implications, and there was someone sharing a video that's totally relevant to this. This is Nick 1 year ago warning the Jews.
"When it comes to the Jews, here's the silver lining. It tends to go from 0 to 60. Like, they're not wrong about that. But there's a reason for that. And the reason is them, okay? When it comes to the Jews, every society where shit has gone down with these people, it always goes from 0 to 60. It never starts with burning all the Talmuds in Paris, okay? It never starts that way. But frequently, it seems to end that way. And it gets there very rapidly. Doesn't start there, but it frequently ends there. But I would say that the Jews had better start being nice to people like us. Because what comes out of this is going to be a lot uglier and a lot worse for them than anything that's being said on this show or has been said on this show. In spite of the fact that I have been bullied by the Jews and I have been oppressed and slandered and lied about and attacked by the Jews, I have been completely precise for the most part and even-handed and nuanced about my view about the situation. And I'm also a Christian, which is going to matter. Because it could be a lot worse, I'm going to say, than this show. And what's going to come out of this could be, like I said, it could be a lot uglier than what we say on the show. I know that there are other people that are going to push farther than that once this conversation really starts. And the Jews are going to look at people like me in America first and say, damn, I miss when it was just that funny guy. And we pushed so hard and this and that because history has shown that once this train gets going.
So yes, Nick is a brilliant political mind, but I wouldn't see him as a political movement. I would say he is a political mind of the media with a massive political impact, which matters a lot, but that doesn't make it a movement. A movement is another thing. A movement has goals of winning, of voting, of whatever the movement is about. So the Groypers don't really have a goal. They are currently just pushing for an ID, and that I classify as separate from the definition of political movements. And Tuna had a second super chat. He was saying, what will Israel supporters say when asked if Palestinians have the right to self-defense? If they answer no, they're not recognized as a state, and we respond, do you apply the same standard to Jews during World War II? How will they respond? Yes, I mean, it could be a weak argument on the side of Israel to say, and we've heard some of this sometimes in leftist debate, you'll hear something like a pro-Jew debate, really. You'll hear something like, well, Palestine isn't even a state, doesn't even exist. And it's like, states are creation of the mind, and you don't need to have one recognized by XYZ to have rights, neither in the very state or in international law. Humans are humans, and humanitarian rights are generally understood to apply to humans as a whole. What else do we have before we get into the most exciting part, which is the developments around there is an awakening, even on TikTok. A FedEx tractor trailer was blocked by several cars in Memphis and then pillaged. That is what we see across cities in the U.S. Complete pillaging of the industrial distribution chain. When they are in a Target, they pillage the Target. When they are on wheels, they pillage the trucks.
Damn! In traffic, though, folks. I'm talking about they own that bitch.
And so up to now, the distribution chain has been avoiding a lot of trouble when it went for home delivery. But I think that the pillaging populations are getting used to this, and they now know that the stuff is in those trucks. Cloud Warmer says, JF, at the moment, the Australian Prime Minister is having to tiptoe and dance on a very thin gray line, trying to keep his local contingent from escalating, predominantly pro-Palestine locality, while also appealing to the Jewish community. All of this could have been avoided. Oh yeah, and the Jews have been going way too hard against their opposition rather than let them be. And they have been not reproducing while the Muslims were reproducing. And they've been cheering on the non-reproduction of whites. It's like, yeah, generally in evolution, when you're cheering about the closest to you, you end up harming your own line of descent also. And the anti-natalist propaganda that was pushed through academia, that was pushed through our Jewish elite, is starting to hurt them and has been hurting them for very long. And the more we reach a society where it won't be possible for minorities to control the world eventually. There's just too much people. There's just too much violence, too much chaos. It's just too costly to maintain order. I mean, look at the FedEx trucks. We can't get our FedEx trucks going safely. So with the chaos that was created very much by an academic elite and an elite of control of civilization, they are disarming themselves. They are becoming incapable of pursuing their enemies, and you don't have thought control working anymore. Totally failing in terms of media control. The media voice has been liberated by the internet and then by Elon. It's looking bad. It's looking bad for them. A firefighter saves a black man's life who was overdosing on drug. The black man then shoots the firefighter when they asked if he had any firearms on him.
Hey, buddy.
Do not save people. Do not hang out in cities where you will have to save people who can then kill you. So this guy is overdosing on opioids. He's in the classical, you know, not breathing phase where, you know, a couple of minutes and he's going to be dead at this rhythm. The fireman gives them Narcan. So it's something that kind of wakes up your respiratory system and neutralizes the effect of the opioid on you.
Hey, Houston, buddy. You went unresponsive. And you're agonally breathing, which means like laborious, like pre-death breathing. They gave you a little bit of Narcan, which treats opioid overdose. I'm not saying that you did anything intentionally or illegal. What I'm going to do, bud, I'm going to pat you down, okay? You're not in any trouble, but I need to make sure nothing's going to happen with them, okay? All right?
Wait, I can't, I have to check myself first.
Check yourself while you're at yourself?
Yeah.
All right.
Houston, real quick, do you have any weapons on you?
No, sir.
Okay. Kind of a bulge on your right side.
That's my phone.
Okay, don't reach for anything. Just
that's my phone. Look, man, I have a problem with officers touching me, man.
Lift up your shirt.
You lift
your
shirt up
a
little
bit.
We want to see your family safe.
Look, this is my...
Not move. Stay right there.
You got your life saved by a fireman and a policeman. They are even willing to grant you that we're not going to go after you for the opioids. We're going to say that it's an unintentional, that you got unintentionally exposed. Because you can be unintentionally, you know, if someone just puts a certain amount of opioid below your nose or close to your skin in some way, you can be unintentionally exposed to too high of a dose of opioid. So we're going to say that it's unintentional. And in fact, if you want space to breathe, we're not going to examine you. Okay, you need space to breathe, man. It's okay. You give them space and they kill you with it. Don't be in a situation where you have to save people like this. They will never be, they will never recognize the debt that they have toward you. A new SPLC Center digital threat report. Dino Rogovich sends us this. I wasn't aware of this. SPLC threat of extremist. Odyssey is a video storage and live streaming platform. Okay, so they're trying to go after Odyssey during the sale process because they're thinking, hey, if we can go after this free speech platform while they get bought by a new purchaser, a new owner, perhaps we can influence the new owner to remove the free speech. Odyssey enables extremists to win money. And look at this. Papa JF, seventh extremist. I'm classified seventh in the extremist Odyssey listeners. Wow, wow, wow. Seventh position, boys. But see, this is exactly what we're talking about. This is what Nick Fuentes was talking about. Continue to go hard on us. We don't give a shit. We've given our lives to just take the shit. We're joyfully like a pig in mud. We are joyfully receiving your shit. We are making a case, and you're not acting in your interest at all. We're showing to the entire world that even if we come with good arguments, even if we're respectful, even if we are rational, even if we advance the state of science, you guys are going after us way too much because you hate white people. And keep doing this. And as Nick Fuentes indicated, it's going to get tighter and tighter for your kind of views to survive on the public space. Base Devolver, I'm going to ban you from the regular chat. Bye. Rachel Wilson says...
I just wanted, just curious, in first wave feminism, mm-hmm. is a grounding foundation...
Oops, I didn't want to start playing the clip right away. Rachel Wilson is reporting on the appearance of Andrew Wilson on the Whatever podcast. What a fascinating job this guy has. Always the same modus operandi. So find 8 women with boobs, place them there, find one person who has arguments, and make an 8-versus-1 debate with the person who has an argument. And these women are generally unable to debate, and they just have the normie, basic leftist mainstream view. Holy shit, did I go through so much trouble trying to pair people in debates back in my days, in the blood sports days. This guy said, fuck this. I'm not going to do like JF. I'm not going to think, oh, this guy has this argument. Maybe I should find someone who has a different argument. No, it's always the same recipe. Just 8 porn stars and 1 guy. I love it. I love it. This makes his life so easy.
Back, I just wanted, just curious, on first wave feminism as a grounding foundation, why would you say that that was good?
I think because it established us as human beings worthy of having...
This is a historical view, of course, because females, there's no evidence that they were not human beings or considered human beings before this. There were some legal rights that differed between them and their husband, but there is no evidence that they were treated like less than humans.
Some rights?
In fact, arguably, our society is treating these porn women much worse than what you would have had 200 years ago. There wasn't a need to completely always be made up with makeup. There wasn't a need to display your boobs like this. There wasn't a need for you to film, gangbangs with 8 different guys on the same day. Those were not ways that the pre-human that you point to had to behave, but you do. Cloud Warmer says, JF, I listened to that stream while I was working. I put up with 3 hours of that shit. Every single time the Crucible guy would say something paradigm shifting, and the girls wanted to hear him out, that white shirt host would jump in and act like a metrosexual and hit on the woman. Yeah, there are some problems with the Whatever podcast. They don't have the intelligence and talent to bring it to the next level. They're very good at getting the first clip reaction. They're very good at getting the ID, just shocking the woman. But they're not very good at bringing it to a resolution, to an intellectual kind of deepened analysis.
Like voting?
So you think that voting rights were good?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but why? How come women don't want them?
Women don't.
So that's kind of a weak argument from Andrew Wilson. The fact that women didn't want them. The thing is, you can have all sorts of replies to this. You can say, well, women didn't know about their own interest, or they were influenced by the society at the time. They had internalized misogyny. It's not a super good argument.
Don't want voting rights?
How come they didn't want them?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, almost no women wanted to vote.
And I wasn't aware that they didn't want that. I certainly want voting rights.
Why?
Because I have an opinion and I'm a human being.
Yeah, so, well, let me ask you this. Women get the right to vote because you want to expand rights.
Sure.
I love that Andrew is holding the mic in his hand so that he doesn't have to get close enough to the table so that he doesn't give the impression as a husband of Rachel that he's getting within arm's distance of one of these whores. I love it. That is quite gentlemanly and husbandly behavior. I love it. I think that's why. I think that's why he's holding the mic. It's not to get close to any of these STDs-filled whores.
Sure.
How come women, when they vote, though, usually vote for more security in the state rather than voting to expand rights? So it's been
now that's an interesting point. That it raises the question of female voting is basically imperialism. Females have been using their vote to basically transform our system into a system of child kidnapping, which totally removes the contribution of the father to children's lives in any broken couple of any kind, abuse or not. So that is grave. The fact that women are so bent on violence and imperialism, they don't have a concept of liberty, and they appear not to know, or maybe they know and they don't care, but they appear not to know that their votes has contributed to a complete eradication of individual rights in our society. We're talking from the freest moment of human civilization to vaccine passports, family courts, false allegations, child kidnapping, child custody, child support, alimony. We're talking from the freest of the freest to the most horrible nanny state, as Dino Lugovich names it. Yes, the most horrible controlling nanny state that has ever been put together, really, because of all the highly controlling states that there was in history, none of them had the means of the modern surveillance state. They are after us in ways that they were not capable of being before. And all of this is greatly attributable to the vote of women.
It's been my experience that usually nobody wants to vote themselves a right to do a good thing. They always want to vote themselves a right for some form of degeneracy.
He's right. This is the declination of democracy, where all the rights you have is whatever has survived democracy. It's whatever stayed in spite of democracy. The rights that you have are all acquired by revolutionary wars and by men who won these wars, and they have a bloodied face and they say, this is going to be the state of right going forward. And they bind the future legislatures and democracies by a constitution, and they say, you won't go there, you won't go there, you won't go there. But all that democracy adds to this is layers of attempts at draining it out, at removing those rights, at building around them and finding detoured ways to get at them. Democracy has never contributed to an expansion of rights of any kind.
I've never actually seen someone say, I want to be more free for more responsibility. I want to be more free so that I have...
Yeah, so the democracy is the way to de-responsabilize, because you can vote yourself money that you don't deserve without the responsibility that comes from having this money.
More duty in society.
Well, then you haven't met me, because that's
So what do you want to vote for? What do you want the vote for exactly?
So this is weak on both sides. Why do you want the vote? Okay, well, she may have all sorts of reasons. She will say she's a libertarian. So there's kind of an assumption in the approach of Andrew, although he will catch her very well. But her reply is also weak. Oh, why do you vote? Well, can't you give an answer, a simple answer? Well, I can give an answer why I don't want the vote and I don't want anyone to vote. What's your answer about why you want to vote?
For me, I'm a patriarchist, right? So from,
you don't think
from the grounding from the Grounding Foundation, you say you're a Christian,
sure,
right? Yeah. Okay, so do you think in society, as a Christian, in a Christian society, why do you think that your founders didn't give women the right to vote?
I never said anything about a Christian society.
Yeah, yeah, but why do you think the founders...
So, yeah, that is... Andrew is trying to make too many jumps too fast. But it's not bad. It's not bad. Andrew is a master, but he's not a god. Andrew is not a god yet at Bloodsport, and... He looks like he's grasping at straws at this point because she hasn't laid out her position on Christian society, nor has she said that every possible past Christians, like the founders of America, had to be right because they were Christians. So he's going with straws and he doesn't have much grounding on her. However, because she's a stupid hoe, it's going to work.
Didn't give women the right to vote.
I don't know, and I don't care.
You don't care?
No, I don't. Probably because they were based in religion, right? But I don't believe. I believe in separation of church and
right,
state.
Right. So you're standing more and more like a progressive and not a conservative to me.
Well,
that is a good catch, because you can always take a libertarian, and if the libertarian is not a good debater, they will easily fall into looking like a libertarian leftist, and then. Well, what's differentiating you from a leftist in the end, a liberal leftist, kind of? With me, Andrew couldn't pull this, but with her, he can. The reply that you have to distinguish, if you want to distinguish the libertarian position from the leftist position, is quite simple. Is the leftist might want some freedom, but they don't know what it is. The libertarians know what freedom is, and it starts with the freedom of your own wallet, and it starts with the freedom from taxation, which is theft. The leftist ultimately wants to use the forced hand of the state to enact their project of delusional freedom. I know that using the state leads to... It is exactly the contrary of freedom. And so that's what distinguishes me from the leftist. Now, if she could have spouted out something along those lines, that would be good. And that would be enough to reply to Andrew. But he's skating on the fact that she doesn't quite know about all this.
That's
so
fine.
If we move it, so
that.
We move into first wave feminism. So now you want a separation between church and state as well.
Where does it say?
Can you tell me? Other than like some basic, I don't like abortion, what do you actually disagree with progressive women on?
A lot of things.
Like?
Like, I believe that, like, what do you mean?
That is what happens when you invest so much energy in the boobs, there is nothing left for the brain. The thing is, I'm sure there's some things that she could have spouted there. You could have said, well, the leftists have an anti-excellence, anti-meritocratic view. I'm sure that this girl with her boobs and her hair, I'm sure that she is pro-meritocracy. So I think there's a lot that she could have said, but it's not looking good when in a debate, your answer is, well, a lot. What do you mean? Because now you're revealing to me by the what do you mean, that you're so confused that you're... A lot probably contained nothing. Your brain wasn't there yet. Now, I'm sure she could have said some things around the economy. If she defines herself as a conservative, she could have made some economic point, right-wing talking points, size of the state. You could have come up with meritocracy. Typically beautiful woman. There is one thing they don't like about leftists, and it's this kind of... This rejection of the excellence and this kind of lower, this identification with the lower levels of society. Because when you put so much effort into having these boobs and being so tight and having all these hair, you think of yourself greatly, really. You you have some self-confidence and you're kind of a non-pathological narcissist. Just the level of narcissism that's needed to be a top 10 out of 10.
Mean like feminism.
Just give me anything besides just I don't like abortion, right? So what I've noticed this trend of
women.
Are
you trying to ask me if I? Well,
someone says, JF, who's the most attractive to you? Well, this girl is barred because she is over made up. She is made up like a Barbie. Too much facial makeup, and I tend to have a good feel that when there's that much makeup, there is something hiding behind that is not super beautiful. So I'm barring her because what we see is not her natural beauty. Now, you could argue that she is the most fit to a form of kind of objective beauty, like she fits better from that perspective, but I'm sure that when you remove the makeup, she is there is something hiding. Maybe she's old. I don't know. This girl is pretty beautiful. This girl is pretty beautiful, but kind of non-European, tanned, perhaps a 5%, 10% Mexican or Middle Eastern genes. I can admire her beauty at a distance. But also, it's not my taste. She has probably the most beautiful and the most well-presented boobs. This girl is underdressed. Underdressed in a kind of feminist fashion, kind of anti-aesthetic type of attitude. She is okay. She is beautiful. But not to the point where I would say she is the most beautiful. I don't think she particularly stands out. This girl is the problem suicide girl, you know, fully labeled with advertisements of risks and warnings. You can see there is an aesthetic of self-destruction in her eyes, in the way she wears this kind of emo type of boob handler. So I would say problem, problem, problem. And I don't know what that is. Is that something that she does with makeup to fake a tattoo, or is that a real tattoo? Anyways, the aesthetics is extremely worrying. And she is beautiful. Like, she is a 8, 9 out of 10, but not to the point of and on top of it, you can see the big distinction between you can see that she has tinted hair and they are irregular, like she made a little golden extra hair. She doesn't have the golden hair, she only has the bleach. There is a lack of care in the stability of the hair, and this tells me there is a lack of stability in her mind. This girl right here is a beautiful, naturally beautiful European body and face. Her face may look less model-like than this girl, and in fact, less model-like than this girl. But she is youthful, she is natural, she doesn't need much preparation for her natural beauty to come out with beautiful hair. I will give my vote to this girl right here. DK Shadow says, looks like dyed hair, though. Yeah, they look like they all have dyed hair, perhaps except this girl. But it's okay. It's okay to dye hair. But she has definitely, she needs the less preparation to have this authentic beauty look to her. And although she may not have the same facial beauty objectively as this girl, nor as this girl's cardboard of makeup, you can see that it's her real face, and that is something I wouldn't say no to. 10 out of 10, super beauty, outcompeting all the others on stage.
So I've noticed this trend of women who are always like...
And this girl, well, she is disqualified by her apparent non-realization of where she is, her lost attitude where, you're like, you want to knock on her glass and say, do you hear me? Hello. And her soldier helmet is totally outdated. So she's disqualified from this contest.
Look, I'm a trad girl, right? Who? Patriarchy's based. Haha, right? I hear this all the time. The question, though, for me always becomes this delineation when they're like, third and fourth wave feminism's gone too far. Okay, what about first wave feminism? Oh, well, all the delineation which led to third and fourth wave feminism, I love all that, just not what it turned into.
To clarify, I'm a libertarian.
So he's trying to tie first wave feminism with its consequences, the future, the, you know, the later feminism, the men-hating feminism. And Andrew has a point, but it's a weak point. Like, it's very easy for this girl to come up and say, well, I'm a libertarian. I was okay with any form of liberation of women, but I'm not okay with any form of aggression against male in response. And you can dissociate yourself from a slippery slope. And even if Andrew was to say, well, ultimately there's a slippery slope. Feminism 1 caused feminism 4. You could say, okay, let's be careful then when we implement feminism 1, but I don't stand for feminism 4. Go away, says Jeff. I hate Christianity because it led to third wave feminism in the long run. That is a good one. That is a good one that she could reply with to Andrew. It's like, okay, you wanna go back to the root? The fact that our societies accepted Jesus Christ is what led our societies to be prepared to feminism wave 1. And you would have a good ground to do this. This is an argument we've heard from James in our Patreon hangouts.
Leaning conservative.
Nick, you can unmute.
Libertarian leaning.
So funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Hilarious.
What are libertarians trying to conserve?
What do you mean?
What are they trying to conserve?
Now, there is so much that she could have answered. It's too bad that Andrew is winning this debate because he's set against a bunch. See, that is why Andrew... I don't know if I should reveal this. There is a guy, okay? There is a guy who is a big fan of me and Andrew. And he is a guy who pays super chats and gives donations, and he's constantly present in the Discord and all. And he's always wanted a debate between me and Andrew. And I said yes. I said yes, but Andrew doesn't want, because Andrew is scared that when he has to argue with me, I'm pushing him in corners that he doesn't feel comfortable in, and he ends up receiving a lot of hate from a divided crowd that is kind of liking him and liking me too. And in other words, I master debate enough that, unlike these women, I can bring Andrew Wilson toward positions that he's uncomfortable in. So I don't know how we can do to resolve this. And I don't know if I should reveal all of this, because ultimately he has the right not to want to debate something like evolution. But it's like, if you want to make history, Andrew, if you want to be a God-tier debater, you have to face them all. It's not enough to show that you can beat a bunch of bimbos on whatever podcast. You have to face the worst of the worst, the most hard debates, the debates in which you feel the most uncomfortable, the debates where you will be pushed in corners, where your own crowd disagrees with you at times. This is all important if you want to make history. But take the time you want. You know, it's not like we have just 1 year ahead of us. Maybe in 20 years, Andrew will want to debate me on this. Silver Spider says, nobody wants to debate JF unless they can ad hominem him for leftist amusement. Yeah, there is a whole bunch of people. In fact, we're working on setting up a modern-day debate where I will be tag-teaming with some Muslim for Palestine, and we will get on the other side some Israeli proponents. Apparently, it's hard to find Israeli proponents. So if you have a friend who's Jewish, who would like to defend Israel, have him reach out to Modern Day Debate.
So you're a conservative because you don't believe in separation.
Well, what do you think conservative means?
So see, it's very easy to answer to Andrew here, because I'm a libertarian who is totally for the maintenance of tradition. In fact, I believe that the libertarianism of early American society is what led true freedom, true free choice, for the people to choose a proper way of living for themselves. I believe that you do not have American-style Christianity without liberty. And I would remind to Andrew, I don't know to what, maybe at this point I'm more of a believer in the Bible than Andrew is himself. As an atheist, you know, I'm kind of surprised, because it does say in the Bible that God has given free rein to humans. He has given freedom to humanity. He has given them guidance, but he has made it such that they had to choose to live the way they wanted. And to me, that's an important point. If I looked at it from a believer perspective, I would conclude that God understood that there was something in free choice that was leading in the right direction better than an imposed choice. And I think that as parents, we can totally understand what that is. It is the extra care of the parent who doesn't just want to give the recipe for survival to their children. He wants to develop the skills in their children to be able to adapt to make the choices toward the right direction naturally, rather than just have a catalog of rules to follow. And I think that Andrew is underestimated. When he proclaims a kind of contradiction, apparent contradiction between libertarianism and Christianity, I think that he misses this part of the Bible. And I think that he presents also a fake view of American history. I believe that American history of Christianity is great because it was free. Now, if you disarm the Christian with forced desegregation, with forced this, forced that, then you weaken the Christian capacity to live by their own principle. But if you give them the strength of living with their own freely chosen principle, then you get the early Christianity that America gave a specific form to.
Conservatism is rooted in preserving the traditions that
sure,
were often...
Sure, and you can believe in traditions.
Stop, hold on for a second. Conservatism...
This podcast, it's like mansplaining. The thing is, this guy's intervention is unwarranted here. Andrew and the girl had a productive conversation. And this guy comes with a definition that no one needs, that is not at play. What we would want is the challenge of Andrew to be answered by the woman. So that's exactly how not to interfere in a debate as a host.
It is rooted in preserving the traditions and ideals that this nation was founded upon, mm-hmm. which were almost entirely Christian. And libertarianism is oftentimes
sure,
not aligned
with that. Sure, but there's also
that.
A reason why...
See, there's even a weakness in his argument, oftentimes. What the fuck are you talking about? The greatest libertarian moment of American civilization was the founding and the years that followed. America just became less libertarian with time. So there is not this contradiction that you claim between the founding of America and libertarianism. Just see the growth of the size of the state since then, and its growth and growth and growth. Just see the growth of red tape laws, the growth of compelled behavior and taxation behavior. It's all undergrowth since then. So the biggest libertarian moment of human civilization was the founding of America.
They didn't specifically
so it's kind of a contradiction of terms.
No, it's not, because you can still have those values and not have them based 100% saying that it's because the Bible said this. It says nowhere in the Constitution because the Bible said that.
Well, then what are you making a foundation of?
Well, you can still believe in those values.
Yeah, no, for conservation.
You can still 100%. To be fair, I am a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. I believe in Christianity.
Yeah.
But when it comes to my political views, yeah. I don't vote based off of only my Christianity.
She's very weak because she could have pulled the God. God said that he wanted men to be free, and he didn't want men to be forced to believe in him. She could pull these arguments from within Christianity rather than come with an external argument that really kind of looks like a leftist argument, because it's separation between the church and the state, and then you fall into all the conspiracies that, oh, well, is this separation ultimately what the Jews wanted? It's not a solid standing. You would have a much more solid standing if you're arguing with Andrew Wilson, a Christian. You have a much more solid standing to be appealing to a Bible that he's supposed to believe in. Dead Star says, what's the deal with Wilson's rejection of race realism? Does he also reject evolution? For all his talk of the founders, he sure does miss the racial philosophy of the founders. That is an excellent argument. That is exactly the kind of thing we could explore in a debate. But yeah, the anti-racist position of Andrew Wilson is a demonstration. It's like a living example of the inherent witness, the inherent weakness of Christianity, and how, oh well, if you accept Jesus in your heart, you're part of my club. Well, that's not good, because the hearts that can say they accept Jesus Christ differ. They differ genetically.
And I also don't believe that we should enforce those.
Go ahead, Savannah.
So basically what
into
you're
the
saying
mic, please.
Is people that serve roughly 50% of the population should have a say in
Let's
the
not linger too
under.
Long on this topic, okay. Please, but...
Yes.
And why is that?
Well, because...
I think we've seen one.
I have a small question after...
Because the entirety of women's voting inside of the United States...
Why would you cut the conversation that seems to raise the most opposition, that is contrasting the position of your guest? Why would you say this while a woman is on her new intervention that she hasn't been speaking for a while? It was perfect. You messed up this fucking guy with his beach gym look. This fucking guy is a problem. Can we get rid of him? He's dressed differently. He should be easy to spot and to exclude from this podcast going forward. Physical removal.
United States has been a complete unmitigated disaster. Unmitigated disaster, which has led us to progressive policies, societal decay, a society which cannot reproduce itself, literally, can't even reproduce itself.
It's true.
It's led to every form of social degeneracy you currently see inside of society has been due 100% to women voting. Let me give you the counter.
So, see, that's a good finish on Andrew. That is very solid. Ultimately, why do I disagree with women voting? It's because the effect of it is dramatic. It's been terrible. So excellent performance here at the end from Andrew. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, I told you about the metrosexual white shirt guy. I told all of you. Yes, I know. I've seen your super chat earlier and I did read it. James says, it is not really freedom given to man from God, because that freedom is granted under duress, meaning if you don't follow Christ, you get tortured forever after death. That would be maybe your argument as a supra-libertarian anti-Christian, but it's certainly not an argument that Andrew will pull. Andrew is not going to say God didn't care about your liberty, because when he gave you liberty, he was holding the leverage, the extortion of the devil. But I like your argument as a ultra-libertarian. Well, shocker, I'm a liberal. It's hard to find masculine men to date who aren't conservative. Well, there you go. We need to celebrate the complete loss of the Jewish control over the public narrative. The ADL is getting so nervous, there is a leak of Jonathan Greenblatt looking bad. because he's admitting that he's losing. Hello, Jonathan Greenblatt. Hello. He's losing the generation that's coming. Who do you think did this? Papa JF is one of those who did this. Why? Because you've been hurting me, Jonathan. You've been hurting me with censorship. You've been hurting me with smears. You've been hurting me with pursuits and of extremism and radical labels. And you've been ultimately attacking my business, my living, and my family. So, Jonathan Greenblatt, I made sure that the generation that rises will care so little about your labels that you will forever be made useless to society, meaningless, and that eventually people will laugh and they will make a game. They will make an internet game out of being called anti-Semite. Prepare for this, Jonathan, because I've set it up and it's going to be fucking funny. Joel Davis says, Twitter is the new 4chan. Tell all of your IRL conservatard friends to make an account on here, and by this time next year, they will be fully radicalized. White identity politics is inevitable. The Jews have lost control of the right. We are winning, guys. We are winning so much that at this point, TikTok normies are listening to, well, reading the Osama bin Laden letter from 2002. That was a letter I've read back then. I remember this letter. I remember loosely in my mind, you know, I was not a public person yet. So I was just reading this as someone who liked information and politics. And I didn't think much of it. But when I read it again today, I remember it as it was an anti-capitalist call. It was cementing this kind of pro-Palestinian, Muslim, existential, anti-capitalist, anti-Zionist position. And when you consider that I've read this letter in 2002, it's like, oh my God, this may have influenced me more than I realize. Because the TikTok normies are now shocked at what they see there. But when I read it, I'm like, wow, how much of this came into my mind for the first time then? So let's have a read and let's judge what is the purpose of rereading this these days. Let us remind ourselves that Osama bin Laden is the guy who is claimed to have been the mind behind the 9/11 attacks. And here he is explaining to Americans why he attacked them. Some American writers have published articles under the title, On What Basis Are We Fighting? These articles have generated a number of responses, some of which are adhered to the truth and were based on Islamic law, and others which have not. Here we wanted to outline the truth as an explanation and warning, hoping for Allah's reward, seeking success and support from Him. While seeking Allah's help, and by the way, I should say that this letter has been banned from TikTok, and so at this point it's only on free platforms like Papa JF's Odyssey channel and X that you can enjoy this content, which I'm covering not as a support for the letter, but as a news item that needs to be covered from a news perspective. While seeking Allah's help, we form our reply based on two questions directed at Americans. In fact, here he should have written two answers to these questions. Why are we fighting and opposing you? And what are we calling you to, and what do we want from you? As for the first question, why are we fighting and opposing you? The answer is very simple. Because you attacked us and continue to attack us. So that is correct. We have had an history of meddling in the Middle East, trying to influence the political direction there. And of course, the very foundation of Israel was an act of British aggression and eventually, which became transferred to a Jewish aggression against local Muslim populations. You attacked us in Palestine. Palestine, which has sunk under military occupation for more than 80 years. The British handed over Palestine with your help and your support to the Jews, who have occupied it for more than 50 years. Years overflowing with oppression, tyranny, crimes, killing, expulsion, destruction, and devastation. The creation and continuation of Israel is one of the greatest crimes, and you are the leader of its criminals. That is correct. Israel is there from a Western mandate, and Israel has been imposing oppression, tyranny, crimes, and killing, and expulsion, and destruction, and devastation. And of course, there is no need to explain and prove the degree of American support for Israel. The creation of Israel is a crime which must be erased. Each and every person whose hands have become polluted in the contribution towards this crime must pay its price, and pay for it heavily. It brings us both laughter and tears to see that you have not yet tired of repeating your fabricated lies that the Jews have a historical right to Palestine, as it was promised to them in the Torah. Anyone who disputes with them on this alleged fact is accused of anti-Semitism. This is one of the most fallacious, widely circulated fabrication in history. The people of Palestine are pure Arabs and original Semites. It is the Muslims who are the inheritors of Moses, peace be upon him, and the inheritors of the real Torah that has not been changed. So that's very interesting. what he's saying here is the Jews that have been making it so that Israel would be founded aren't the Jews of Moses. They aren't the traditional Middle Eastern Jews that have given birth to the Torah. And you have to give it to him. Like, look at Lex Fridman. Look at his face. You can see that genetically Lex Fridman comes from an Eastern European population, for sure. For sure. He has Eastern European, Russian types of genes. There is no chance that the ancestors of Lex Fridman were Jews in the place that today we call Israel. No chance at all. Now, there's an actual chance that the Jews that we call that the Jews that were living in the area that we today call Israel, maybe 2,000 years ago, maybe more than 2,000 years ago, there is a good chance that they look much more like Osama bin Laden than they look like Lex Fridman. Just from a genetic perspective, much more chance, much more realistic claim here. So first, the genetic case is Jews are this very loose diaspora that has taken a book, but that is not even the original people that has given birth to this book, and this book has spread. And it has captured a lot of populations that do not have a legitimate claim to Israel as a territory, as a historical territory. And there's a serious question about whether there's any currently living Jews who are truly the descendants of those who once lived somewhere around this place. That's a serious claim. It's not that it matters, because ultimately historical justification for ownership of land just doesn't work. Ultimately, no fate but what you make, no rights but those for which you fight. And you have no right to a land until you fight for it and you eliminate the people who have alternative rights to this land. So it's an interesting position from Osama bin Laden here. And on top of it, there's something that I've seen in Philip Fabry's The History of the Next Century, and I see it here too. There is a claim that the Muslims are the true inheritors of Moses. Because as Philip Fabry describes it in The History of the Next Century, the Judaism of Moses, the original Judaistic religion, was a warrior-oriented kind of primitive religion of violence and terrorism. And eventually it got pacified. It got pacified into the modern Judaism, which eventually became a kind of network of rabbis for dating and for business. And this process by which the original Jews of Moses were really a people of conquest and of warrior and of violence. But ultimately, this heritage of Moses was really taken by Islam with the new prophet Muhammad, who comes here, doesn't even deny the tradition of Judaism, but rather says we need to continue in that warrior line, while the other Judaism was getting pacified. So Islam kind of rose as the warrior alternative, the jihad alternative to the religion that previous to that had been the jihad religion, the religion of warring, which was Judaism, the original one. So you have here Osama bin Laden saying, we are the true carriers of Moses' tradition. The branch of Jews that became CNN reporters, they're a bunch of pacified Jews who have been directed toward a false religion and a false perception of their own place in history. That's interesting. Cloud Warmer says, why do European Jews get the unique right to practice blood and soil ideology? What other group of people have this right? Yeah, I mean, we'll get to this, but Elon Musk is totally calling it out at this point. So let's continue through the Osama bin Laden letter. including Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon them all. If the followers of Moses have been promised a right to Palestine in the Torah, then the Muslims are the most worthy nation of this. So he's saying, we are so much like the original Jews that you guys aren't, that if something was promised to the original Jews, it was promised to us. And you have to grant it to Osama bin Laden. The genetics seem to be on his side. Like, isn't it fascinating that Lex Fridman has an entry right to Israel right now? And Osama bin Laden wouldn't? Isn't it fascinating? All of this because the parents of Lex Fridman took a book from the Middle East and made it their religion in Eastern Europe. That's fascinating because the claim of Osama bin Laden sounds real here. When the Muslims conquered Palestine and drove out the Romans, Palestine and Jerusalem returned to Islam, the religion of all the prophets, peace be upon them. Therefore, the call to a historical right to Palestine cannot be raised against the Islamic Ummah that believes in all the prophets of Allah. Peace and blessings be upon them. And we make no distinction between them. The blood pouring out of Palestine must be equally revenged. We must know that the Palestinians do not cry alone. Their women are not widowed alone. Their sons are not orphaned alone. And we had an interesting statement from Justin Trudeau yesterday, who says, we are hearing the Palestinian suffering here, and we are calling for Israel to stop hurting so much civilians. It's a good beginning from within the American empire to hear a leader truly go after Israel and call them out. It's quite impressive, let me tell you, for someone who knows about the recent history of this, and I've been through the Iraq-Afghanistan wars where Canada and U.S. were always hand in hand. Sometimes Canada would say, oh, I'm not getting into this one, but they were never critical of the root of this problem, which is the Israeli occupation of land that has been going on since 80 years. You attacked us in Somalia. You supported the Russian atrocities against us in Chechnya, the Indian oppression against us in Kashmir, and the Jewish aggression against us in Lebanon. No lies detected. Under your supervision, consent, and orders, the governments of our countries, which act as your agents, attack us on a daily basis. These governments prevent our people from establishing the Islamic Sharia, using violence and lies to do so. So all they want is to live according to their own rules, and they get these American interventions, very often through proxies, sometimes directly from America, keeping them from applying their own law, and sometimes intervening in their nations to put up fake governments in place, like the coup attempt in Iran. These governments give us a taste of humiliation and places us in a large prison of fear and subdual. These governments steal our ummah's wealth and sell them to you at a paltry price. These governments have surrendered to the Jews and handed them most of Palestine, acknowledging the existence of their state over the dismembered limbs of their own people. The removal of these governments is an obligation upon us and a necessary step to free the ummah, to make the Sharia the supreme law, and to regain Palestine. And our fight against these governments is not separate from our fight against you. You steal our wealth and oil at paltry prices because of your international influence and military threats. This theft is indeed the biggest theft ever witnessed by mankind in the history of the world. Your forces occupy our countries. You spread your military bases throughout them. You corrupt our lands and you besiege our sanctities to protect the security of the Jews and to ensure the continuity of your pillage of our treasures. You have starved the Muslims of Iraq, where children die every day. It is a wonder that more than 1.5 million Iraqi children have died as a result of your sanctions, and you did not show concern. Yet when 3,000 of your people died, the entire world rises and has not yet sit down. You have supported the Jews in their idea that Jerusalem is their eternal capital and agreed to move your embassy there. With your help and under your protection, the Israelis are planning to destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Under the protection of your weapons, Sharon entered the Al-Aqsa Mosque to pollute it as a preparation to capture and destroy it. These tragedies and calamities are only a few examples of your oppression and aggression against us. It is commanded by our religion and intellect that the oppressed have a right to return the aggression. Do not await anything from us but jihad, resistance, and revenge. Is it in any way rational to expect that after America has attacked us for more than half a century, that we will then leave her to live in security and peace? You may then dispute that all of the above does not justify aggression against civilians for crimes they did not commit and offenses in which they did not partake. This argument, though, contradicts your continuous repetition that America is the land of freedom and its leaders in this world. Therefore, the American people are the ones who choose their government by way of their own free will, a choice which stems from their agreement to its policies. Thus, the American people have chosen, consented to, and affirmed their support for the Israeli oppression of the Palestinians, the occupation and usurpation of their land, and its continuous killing, torture, punishment, and expulsion of the Palestinians. The American people have the ability and choice to refuse the policies of their government and even to change it if they want. The American people are the ones who pay the taxes which fund the planes that bomb us in Afghanistan, the tanks that strike and destroy our homes in Palestine, the armies which occupy our lands in the Arabian Gulf, and the fleets which ensure the blockade of Iraq. These tax dollars are given to Israel for it to continue to attack us and penetrate our lands. So the American people are the ones who fund the attacks against us, and they are the ones who oversee the expenditure of these monies in the way they wish through their elected candidates. Also, the American army is part of the American people. It is the very same people who are shamelessly helping the Jews fight against us. The American people are the ones who employ both their men and their women in the American forces which attack us. This is why the American people cannot be innocent of all the crimes committed by the Americans and Jews against us. Allah, the Almighty, legislated the permission and the option to take revenge. Thus, if we are attacked, then we have the right to attack back. Whoever has destroyed our villages and towns, then we have the right to destroy their villages and towns. Whoever has stolen our wealth, then we have the right to destroy their economy. And whoever has killed our civilians, then we have the right to kill theirs. The American government and press still refuses to answer the question, why did they attack us in New York and Washington? If Sharon is a man of peace in the eyes of Bush, then we are also men of peace. America does not understand the language of manners and principles, so we are addressing it using the language it understands. As for the second question that we want to answer, what are we calling you to and what do we want from you? The first thing that we are calling you to is Islam, the religion of the unification of God, of freedom from associating partners with Him, and rejection of this, of complete love to Him, the exalted, of complete submission to His laws, and of the discarding of all the opinions, orders, theories, and religions which contradict with the religion He sent down to His prophet Muhammad. Peace be upon Him. Islam is the religion of all the prophets and makes no distinction between them. Peace be upon them all. It is to this religion that we call you, the seal of all the previous religions. It is the religion of unification of God, sincerity, the best of manners, blah, blah, blah. It is the religion whose book, the Quran, will remain preserved and unchanged after the other divine books and messages have been changed. The Quran is the miracle until the day of judgment. Allah has challenged anyone to bring a book like the Quran or even 10 verses like it. The second thing we call you to is to stop your oppression, lies, immorality, and debauchery that has spread among you. We call you to be a people of manners, principles, honor, and purity, to reject the acts of fornication, homosexuality, intoxicants, gamblings, and trading with interest. We call you to all of this that you may be freed from that which you have been caught up in, that you may be freed from the deceptive lies that you are a great nation, that your leaders spread amongst you to conceal from you the despicable state to which you have reached. It is saddening to tell you that you are the worst civilization witnessed by the history of mankind. You are the nation who, rather than ruling by the Sharia of Allah in its constitution and laws, choose to invent your own laws as you will and desire. You separate religion from your policies, contradicting the pure nature which affirms absolute authority to the Lord and your Creator. You flee from the embarrassing question posed to you. How is it possible for Allah the Almighty to create His creation, grant them power over all the creatures and land, grant them all the amenities of life, and then deny them that which they are most in need of, knowledge of the laws which govern their lives? You are the nation that permits usury, which has been forbidden by all religions. Yet you build your economy and investments on usury. As a result of this, in all its different forms and guises, the Jews have taken control of your economy, through which they have taken control of your media, and now control all aspects of your life, making you their servants and achieving their aims at your expense, precisely what Benjamin Franklin warned you against. You are a nation that permits the production, trading, and usage of intoxicants. You also permit drugs and only forbid the trade of them, even though your nation is the largest consumer of them. You are a nation that permits acts of immorality and you consider them to be pillars of personal freedom. You have continued to sink down this abyss from level to level until incest has spread amongst you, in the face of which neither your sense of honor nor your laws object. Who can forget your President Clinton's immoral acts committed in the official Oval Office? After that, you did not even bring him to account, other than that he made a mistake, after which everything passed with no punishment. Is there a worse kind of event for which your name will go down in history and be remembered by nations? You are a nation that permits gambling in all its forms. The companies practice this as well, resulting in the investments becoming active and the criminals becoming rich. You are a nation that exploits women like consumer products or advertising tools, calling upon customers to purchase them. You use women to serve passengers, visitors, and strangers to increase your profit margin. You then rant that you support the liberation of women. You are a nation that practices the trade of sex in all its forms, directly and indirectly. Giant corporations and establishments are established on this under the name of art, entertainment, tourism, and freedom, and other deceptive names you attribute to it. And because of all this, you have been described in history as a nation that spreads disease that were unknown to men in the past. Go ahead and boast to the nations of men that you brought them AIDS as a satanic American invention. You have destroyed nature with your industrial waste and gases more than any other nation in history. Despite this, you refuse to sign the Kyoto Agreement so that you can secure the profit of your greedy companies and industries. Your law is the law of the rich and wealthy people who hold sway in their political parties and fund their election campaigns with their gifts. Behind them stand the Jews who control your policy, media, and economy. That which you are singled out for in the history of mankind is that you have used your force to destroy mankind more than any other nation in history, not to defend principles and values, but to hasten to secure your interest and profits. You who dropped a nuclear bomb on Japan, even though Japan was ready to negotiate an end to the war. How many acts of oppression, tyranny, and injustice have you carried out? Oh, callers to freedom. Let us not forget one of your major characteristics, your duality in both manners and values, your hypocrisy in manners and principles. All manners, principles, and values have two scales, one for you, and one for the other. The freedom and democracy that you call to is for yourselves and for white race only. As for the rest of the world, you impose upon them your monstrous, destructive policies and governments, which you call the American friends. Yet you prevent them from establishing democracies. When the Islamic Party in Algeria wanted to practice democracy and they won the election, you unleashed your agents in the Algerian army onto them and to attack them with tanks and guns, to imprison them and torture them. A new lesson from the American Book of Democracy. Your policy on prohibiting and forcibly removing weapons of mass destruction to ensure world peace, it only applies to those countries which you do not permit to possess such weapons. As for the countries you consent to, such as Israel, then they are allowed to keep and use such weapons to defend their security. Anyone else who you suspect might be manufacturing or keeping these kinds of weapons, you call them criminals and you take military action against them. You are the last ones to respect the resolutions and policies of international law. Yet you claim to want to selectively punish anyone else who does the same. Israel has, for more than 50 years, been pushing UN resolutions and rules against the wall with the full support of America. As for the war criminals, which you censure and form criminal courts for, you shamelessly ask that your own are granted immunity. However, history will not forget the war crimes that you committed against the Muslims and the rest of the world. Those you have killed in Japan, Afghanistan, Somalia, Lebanon, and Iraq will remain a shame that you will never be able to escape. It will suffice to remind you of your latest war crimes in Afghanistan, in which densely populated innocent civilian villages were destroyed, bombs were dropped on mosques, causing the roof of the mosque to come crashing down on the heads of the Muslims praying inside. You are the ones who broke the agreement with the Mujahideen when they left Kunduz, bombing them in Jengi Fort and killing more than 1,000 of your prisoners through suffocation and thirst. Allah alone knows how many people have died by torture at the hands of you and your agents. Your planes remain in the Afghan skies, looking for anyone remotely suspicious. You have claimed to be the vanguard of human rights, and your Ministry of Foreign Affairs issues annual reports containing statistics of those countries that violate any human right. However, all these things vanished when the Mujahideen hit you, and you then implemented the methods of the same documented governments that you used to curse. In America, you captured thousands of Muslims and Arabs, took them into custody with neither reason, court trial, nor even disclosing their names. You issued newer, harsher laws. What happens in Guantanamo is a historical embarrassment to America and its values, and it screams into your faces. You hypocrites, what is the value of your signature on any agreement or treaty? Tridam, you are banned. There's a bot attack, I believe. I believe that there are people so nervous that they're losing control of the narrative that they want to make us look like hateful places. And so they come and they make these hateful statements on the regular chat and we ban them. What we call you to, thirdly, is to take an honest stand with yourselves, and I doubt you will do so, to discover that you are a nation without principles or manners, and that the values and principles to you are something which you merely demand from others, not that which you yourself must adhere to. We also advise you to stop supporting Israel and to end your support of the Indians in Kashmir, the Russians against the Chechens, and to also cease supporting the Manila government against the Muslims in southern Philippines. We also advise you to pack your luggage and get out of our lands. We desire for your goodness, guidance, and righteousness, so do not force us to send you back as cargo in coffins. Sixthly, we call upon you to end your support of the corrupt leaders in our countries. Do not interfere in our politics and method of education. Leave us alone, or else expect us in New York and Washington. We also call you to deal with us and interact with us on the basis of mutual interests and benefits rather than the policies of subdual, theft, and occupation, and not to continue your policy of supporting the Jews, because this will result in more disasters for you. If you fail to respond to all these conditions, then prepare for a fight with the Islamic nation, the nation of monotheism that puts complete trust on Allah and fears none of other than Him, the nation which is addressed by its Quran with the words, "Do you fear them? Allah has more right than you should fear Him if you are believers. Fight against them so that Allah will punish them by your hands and disgrace them and give you victory over them and heal the breast of believing people and remove the anger of their believers' heart. Allah accepts the repentance of whom He wills. Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. the nation of honor and respect, and he quotes other passages from the Quran. The Islamic nation that was able to dismiss and destroy the previous evil empires, like yourself. The nation that rejects your attacks, wishes to remove your evils, and is prepared to fight you. You are well aware that the Islamic nation, from the very core of its soul, despises your haughtiness and arrogance. If the Americans refuse to listen to our advice and the goodness, guidance, and righteousness that we call them to, then be aware that you will lose this crusade Bush began. Just like the other previous crusades in which you were humiliated by the hands of the Mujahideen, fleeing to your home in great silence and disgrace. If the Americans do not respond, then their fate will be that of the Soviets who fled from Afghanistan to deal with their military defeat, political breakup, ideological downfall, and economic bankruptcy. This is our message to the Americans as an answer to theirs. Do they now know why we fight them and over which form of ignorance? By the permission of Allah, we shall be victorious. Interesting text to look at from the perspective of today's events. The attack of Israel against Gaza, the full participation of the American government in this. And basically, America continuing, at least at its elite level, to challenge what Osama bin Laden warned them to stop doing. But there is a consciousness rising at the bottom of civilization that may not have reached yet the top controllers of the world and the politicians, but it's certainly there, and I think it will start mattering enormously. Right now, TikTok has banned the Osama bin Laden's letter because it had became a whole movement that, you know, young people just saying, oh my God, I have just read Osama bin Laden's letter. Oh my God. So you can't censor the internet at this point. By doing this on TikTok, you're going to actually give more prestige to the movement, and we're going to get more and more people reading this letter. Just because of this, I ended up reading it in full, see, and it will spread. And tens of thousands of people are probably going to watch the clip. The memes are coming out. Candace Owen calls out the Israeli lobby. Candace stands up to Ben Shapiro in the name of Christ. Tucker Carlson slams Jewish Zionists for funding white genocide. Elon affirms the Jews are the ones pushing anti-white hatred. We have an escalation, and it's going as fast as Nick Fuentes had initially warned us about. You have the mainstream media going after Elon Musk. Elon Musk is accused of promoting anti-Semitism after agreeing with a post that claimed Jewish people have been pushing hatred against white. And Gab was saying, you need to be convinced that Jewish people are pushing hatred against white. Here's lists and lists of tweets of people confirming they are Jewish and confirming they hate white people. White people are the worst. I hate white people. As a Jew, I have thought about my college cafeteria, blah, 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 and white genocide is good and cannot come soon enough to satisfy the barbaric leftist. Old, stupid white men. So anti-white hate, omnipresent on Jewish Twitter. You had Brett Weinstein, you know, refuse to engage with scientific points that I make on the basis that there may be a Nazi in my audience, on the basis that maybe I'm a nationalist. That is a sign that there is a clash of civilization happening in the schism between the Jewish part of civilization, which is a very small fraction, and the rest of civilization. And the Jews are freaking nervous about it because they have kind of a paranoid feeling. They have a paranoid anticipation. They have an ability to be worried about their survival that is kind of at the border between psychosis and reality. And look at how Jonathan Green Black speaks internally. He seems to be speaking to, you know, decision makers and stakeholders and maybe rich people. This is a leak that comes from Iran, but this is Jonathan Greenblatt, CEO of the ADL. And listen to what he says about the new generation. They have lost the current generation of young people rising. Hey, Jonathan, I did this. People like me did this. How do you like me now? How about you come to a point where you can apologize for previous behaviors, where you can recognize the wrongs of your side, and maybe we can talk. But we made sure that the next generation would be allergic to your propaganda. And we were let to do it for a very small moment of time, but we had enough impact so that it happened. And despite your censorship attempts, we were fast enough and quick enough to make sure that your propaganda would be neutralized for the next 30 years. I'm very proud of that.
The real game is the next generation, and the Hamas and their accomplices, the useful idiots in the West, are falling in line in ways that are terrifying. Last thing I'll just say, we saw a dramatic change in the language of the activists here in America on October the 8th. The language of groups that we've long tracked, who've long been problematic, like Students for Justice in Palestine and Jewish Voices for Peace, they flipped like this and went to like Iranian propaganda. The language I could show you from their toolkits, because our analysts are in their groups. We saw this again on October the 8th. It was that fast. Like the language in their toolkits was all about the Zionist entity and lots of other language that we recognized from Iranian propaganda.
There you go. They are losing control and they don't know what to do. And Jonathan Greenblatt is desperate. And he's now begging for more money to control more minds. You're going to lose, Jonathan. You are too little, too late. We've been changing the minds in ways that would perjure through time, even if you shut us down. You're done. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of snowball effects. I don't even have anything to do anymore. Our work has been done. And the minds have been changed. They've been changed in ways that you can't even understand. And in the future, you will lose and lose and lose support, and you won't even know why. And there won't even be any action that you can stop us from doing to free yourself from these losses, because the actions have already been performed. Fadam says, JF, that audio leak could be fully reproduced by free online programs a loan agent could make with about 4 hours of work. I don't see any denial. We'll see if there's a denial, but I don't see any denial for now. Translation of what Elon is saying here, because Elon was saying in response to Eva Vlandergerbrook, he was saying, yeah, this is super messed up. Time for this nonsense to end, and shame anyone who perpetuate these lies. And the lies that he's talking about is anti-white hate. And I wanted to insist on what Elon means by anyone here. When Elon says it is time to shame anyone, it's very clear what he's saying. He's talking about the Jews. He's saying no more will the fact that you're Jewish be an excuse for you to be able to spout anti-white hate on Twitter or anywhere else for that matter. So I said, translation of what Elon is saying. Anyone means even someone whose 4 grandparents were Holocaust survivors. Elon has dropped his iron fist on the public space. No more excuses for anti-white hate. The fight against anti-white hate is causing, as Aristophanes describes it, a vibe shift. It is major. What we are seeing is people using alt-right talking points in 2023. After people have been actually canceled for these talking points, it's kind of disparate. It's kind of weird. Because there are still people canceled for what what these normies are today saying. It's like there was a meme with Kanye West looking at everyone and being like, hey, you guys are all discussing the thing that I've been canceled for 3 months ago. And it's pretty much what's happening. So when Elon Musk said, you have said the actual truth, some people, some subversive came to say, dude, what are you talking about? Who are the Jewish people who are pushing hate towards white? And amazingly, the guy who comes to say this has enough of a Twitter history that someone was able to demonstrate to him, you were the one pushing anti-white memes. Here's a 2020 tweet that he had done. Obviously, you're a white privileged little shit from Rosedale who listens to Duck Dingle. Enjoy. Well, there you go. We have found the Jews that Elon Musk was talking about. It's you. Mark Braman says, nah, bro, you won't hijack this one. Ben Shapiro is trying to do a rotation. Don't let them do this rotation here. Ben Shapiro is someone who has stood for the browning of America. He has said, I do not care about the browning for America. But now that things are getting heated a little bit, he's saying this is because the West has taught an entire generation of its children that the West is itself evil and ought to be destroyed. These are the wages of that pathetic lack of self-confidence. This was in his reply to the Osama bin Laden trending on TikTok. Ben, you are grasping at straw with the West, the Judeo-Christian civilization. There is a demographic problem. It's very clear that you're avoiding the question because you feel the heat at this point. But you were on the side of destroying Western demographics. And you're going to have to one day either apologize for it or change your view and say you were wrong, or live with the consequence that the destruction of Western civilization has been undertaken by people like you. whether you knew it or not. Dead Star says, JF, please no ban, but would you publicly state that you bear no loyalty to King Charles III and that you reject his dominion over your lands? I affirm this indeed. I do not bear loyalty to King Charles III, and I reject his dominion over my lands. I hear no police. I'm looking at my security camera. No one is coming to knock on my door. Seems okay. I'm not sure if you're trying to get me in trouble here. King Charles III. I don't know that there's a Canadian law forcing me to adore King Charles III. Make love, not war. Henrik Palgrim arguing for sexual libertarianism in Israel. Make love, not war. Israel should absorb Palestinian populations into them and then mix out with them. It's the only way. Quoting Anthony Bourdain and quoting an article that says female Israeli soldiers banned serving as guards after sex with Palestinian inmate. The sounds of losing. The sounds of easy victory.